Welcome to another podcast on Future Proof Your Career. My name is Elise Stevens, and today I have the wonderful Chen Chen Yeo with us today. And Chen Chen is an executive coach who specializes in developing agility in professionals, thereby raising the quality of leadership in every organization. And isn't that important? Named one of the top 101 global coaching leaders and a woman super achiever, yoo-hoo, at the 28th World HRD Conference, Chen Chen's outstanding work in shaping the future of leadership development makes her a highly sought-after individual in the business world. She works with business executives, enabling them to transform their organizational leadership through strategic mindset shifts. Her clients hail from nearly 40 countries, including Fortune 500 companies and senior officers from the Singapore Civil Service. Chen Chen is also the author of a great book called The Eight Paradoxes of Leadership Agility, where through stories of transformation, she shows how mindset shifts are made possible through her proprietary RE4 coaching model.
Hey.
Chen Chen, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. Happy to be here. I think I've traveled around the world connecting with people from all over the world today across different time zones. Very happy to have landed in Australia today.
Oh, well, that's good. Yes, because we're neighbors kind of geographically.
Yes, yes, same, we're on same hemisphere.
Well, you're on a small island and I'm on a rather bigger island.
Many, many times bigger. would love to visit someday. I haven't been to Australia before, to be honest. Physically.
Oh, well, we can only do virtually at the moment.
Yes.
So today we're talking about leadership agility. And let's start off with the first question, which is, does leadership need to change?
Good question, Elise. I think it's astounding. Yes, we need to change leadership. Right now, you know, the pace of disruption, prior to COVID-19, it was already increasing with digitalization. And with the pandemic, actually, you will find that the pace of disruption has now increased. A lot of companies where if they had put digital transformation on the back burner, now they're really feeling the crunch. So looking at the impact of COVID-19, then beyond businesses, you will actually see this impact on many, many domains, namely, you know, in a family, even how education, how teaching is happening right now, how governments are engaging citizens, what is happening in the media, in entertainment, and of course, businesses, and ultimately, I think even religion. So collectively, you know, in the seven spheres of influence, there's definitely huge changes in each of these spheres. So right now, of course, you hear the buzzwords, pivot, new normal, and because all these things are changing, are being changed at one go, you know, since I think February till now, leaders definitely need to change, hence the leadership has to change as well. So the question is, to spearhead all this pivoting, finding a new normal, whose responsibility is it going to be? I think quite normal people will say, well, it's up to the leaders, isn't it? It's the leaders who will put the right processes in place to make the right systemic changes, to redefine the goals, because our bottom lines have changed, right? Consumer behavior, I think, is one of the greatest driving forces of how businesses will evolve. And I think most importantly, the leaders have to align teams and bring people together. But right now, you know, the pressures on people, even employees in teams, is enormous. There's been quite a number of reports that talk about mental well-being, resilience. So it does change the role of leaders as well. But also, while the playing field is now different, the rules of engagement will no longer be the same. So leaders, as part of the whole, they have to look at new leadership styles, new beliefs and practices. They need to realign all these and be made relevant to the society at large, and of course the business as well. They probably have to think about how do I figure things out when I myself don't quite know where things are going? You know, what does success look like? It's probably a process that has to be co-created. And as time goes by, as they gain more experience in the new normal, they will begin to re-understand what reality really is, make sense of what are strategies that will work, what are those that won't work, harness the necessary resources, assemble the right team, so ultimately with very fulfilling, meaningful work, organizations can tackle the challenges and thrive. So yes, definitely need to change.
We are recording in September 2020. Have you just said to me in December 2019, life as we know it is going to change in 3 months, and that how we deliver healthcare is going to change, and that telehealth is going to be more prominent, or that in Melbourne, Australia, that we're going to have a stage 4 lockdown where people have to stay at home and not go to work. I would have said, ah, you're joking. You know, that only happens on those terrible hospital dramas where, you know, their hospitals all locked down due to some kind of Ebola outbreak. But yet it's happened. And we think about how leaders have had to cope and adapt, especially into a virtual model of remote working. And whereas people are used to looking into the eyes of the other people, they don't have that anymore. And are my team productive? How do I manage and lead and motivate a team that I don't see anymore? Yep. Just some of the things.
Yes.
So change has been forced upon these people. Change has been forced upon leaders and employees. So some leaders would be struggling with coping with the change. And how can we help these leaders through this? What can they do?
I think right now it's been close to six, 7 months. People are slowly coming to terms with it. I think initially when they think about work from home, they thought it's just bring your work home and you just do it from home. But they realize over time that it's not as simple as that. Knowing that the boundaries have changed, knowing that the professional self and the personal self, that the gray area is increasing. You know, it seems like these two parts are totally going to be integrated right now. So I think leaders, when they understand the constraints that individuals are facing, having their platform to have those discussions, for them to air those, you know, voice out those difficulties, it really helps a lot for leaders to understand what is really happening, what the employees are facing. While outcomes, meeting objectives are still very important, I think right now leaders play an additional role. So if they look into the human side of things, understanding what are the changes that are happening at a professional level, at a family level, at a personal level, they have to meet those human needs and have those conversations. So I think empathy, definitely a lot more required. Active listening, a lot more required. Probably holding people accountable to work, they have to be more creative. And if they understand that these things are going to change, how do you measure productivity? How do you measure, how do you hold people accountable? What is the mode of your working? How do you expect people to show up? You know, even talking about what's your response rate and things like that. Having these discussions very transparently, I think it will help them understand and figure out what is the format that works for the organization.
You know, pre-COVID, I felt that the level of leadership and the quality of leadership that I observed was quite poor, was still very much, I think of it as like industrial, you know, you'll be here, you'll be on that seat and you'll be sitting there and you'll be looking busy, busyness. I want to see you typing, whatever it is, you must be doing something. You can't be thinking or doing something like that. So I felt that that was still very much the mode of operations. And reading stuff on LinkedIn about, you know, leadership during the pandemic and everything. But those leaders that were, you know, happy, comfortable in that space of being whatever they were doing in that old model of leadership, now they've suddenly been thrust into this new way of working where they do have to be agile, and yet they must be going through all kinds of stuff at the moment, just trying to, you know, talk about my cheese has moved.
Probably it's not cheese anymore.
Probably not.
So definitely there's change. I think you're right. A lot of leaders are stuck at the industrialization age, the model of leadership. And that model definitely has to change. And I think it starts from the mindset. If they still hold on to their old style, expecting people to separate with a clear separation between thinkers and doers, then they'll be very disappointed. So this is definitely the time for the mindset shift to be agile, embrace agility.
So it's easy for us to say, leaders, you need to be more agile. If only it were that simple. But how? How can they do that? What do you recommend to leaders to become more agile and to adopt agile approaches?
Good question. You also point out one very good thing is we see a lot of literature that says that leaders must be agile. But what does agile mean, you know? Is there a rule book? Is there a guidebook on that where I just follow the steps 1 to 10, almost like operating a machine and you can't really go wrong. But unfortunately, it's not that. So in my context, in my book, I talk about leadership agility and I have a really simple definition of agility. And it is really about this sense of authenticity and ease that you have, even as you are navigating complexities, uncertainties. And I think complexities, uncertainties are probably something that a lot of people can relate with right now. Ultimately, agility is a mindset. Why do we need to start with the mindset? You know, there is a connection between mindset, behaviors, and outcomes. So if leaders have the right mindset shift, their behaviors will change, which then understandably will generate a different outcome. And at the mindset level, we are talking about, okay, is there this discernment and vigilance to be intuitive, to be perceptive, to know that some things are not working anymore. Some things need to be tweaked, to be changed. Because having this mindset, always having this eye out, this perception, this intuition out, helps leaders to be adaptive. Because by the time the change comes, we would have already foreseen it. We cannot be reactive. When we talk about agility, we are always talking about adaptive. We don't talk about being reactive. Reactive is not a good mode. So what's happening is, some tips for leaders then is to really look into their mindset, you know. Are we trying to improve our agility by looking only at our knowledge and skills? Because in my practice, that's one area that I notice. People overemphasize on the hard skills. Is it about your qualifications? Is it about how many of those skills, how knowledgeable you are? And I think leadership is much more than that. But what's interesting is that as they look for these stopgap measures, right, to address behaviors that are no longer working without examining the mindset, it's actually insanity. You know, Einstein said it so well. There are two quotes that I really love from Einstein. He says, it's insanity to repeat the same actions and expect a different outcome. And he also said, it's impossible to find a solution from the same level of consciousness that created a problem in the first place. So if we look at that mindset, and if I extend it further into consciousness, we cannot develop leaders in the same way as most companies have done it before. There has been research that showed that just in the US alone, $14 to $50 billion are spent on leadership development. Yet leadership talent, vision still continue to be the greatest concern for many of the tops, many of the CEOs. But why, you see? So I think the approach is really wrong. We have to address the mindset. So what does having an agile mindset really mean? How do you live it? How do you breathe it? how do you always be willing to change? I think there has been some good work done in the past, and perhaps that will help leaders understand then what are the questions they have to ask themselves. You know, some years back in Singapore, at least, growth mindset was quite in trend. So when people distinguish fixed mindset versus growth mindset, you can clearly tell the behavior will be different. Back in the days where I started growing my business, I think the first thing that I embraced was scarcity mindset versus abundance mindset. It helps you look at building business in a different way. And then to embrace agility, it is the same. Looking at what do I really need? You know, what do I really need to examine with courage, with humility, and to let myself be convinced by the evidence that whatever I'm doing right now is no longer working. And with the diversity in my workforce, a lot of talented people, how can I pull all these resources together and seek a newer path, a better path?
I agree with you about the comment you made about, you know, the couple of $1 trillion worth of money spent on leadership development, yet the quality of our leaders is still very poor. And I find that, because I look around where at different places I work and I'm like, yeah, with so many leadership coaches available, why is it that we still have the same kind of poor leadership, you know, the lack of empathy, the lack of getting the best out of people, and all those type of things are still going on? And it's like I can't marry it up about why this happens. But also I think that perhaps organisations are promoting the wrong people as well.
It is quite true. Actually, Marshall Goldsmith says it really well. He says, what got you here can't get you there. We promote the highest performing individual contributors. We throw them into the role of being people leaders or people managers, however you want to call them, but no one ever teach them or unpacks for them what does leadership really mean. Which is why in my book, while I have that simple definition in the online course that I developed, I invite participants to define leadership agility in their own words, because it doesn't matter as much what other people think. What matters most is what they themselves think about it. So one of the first things that I do in my one-on-one coaching is, oh, you know, people will come to me with this gap. Okay, people maybe describe them as being ineffective, too soft, too tough kind of leader. And they say, I want to be a leader. I want to be a better leader. And then that opens up the first discussion. Okay, what do you mean by leadership? Because everyone practices leadership differently. It's a very personal thing. It's a very contextual thing. So we need to help the person embrace what is their voice, what is their style, integrate it with who they really truly are as human beings. Then it will really sing, it will really soar. Then you can really see people very authentic and comfortable in their own skin. But not enough exploration has been done about it, unfortunately. Lately, I've been working with so many very senior executives, and when we explore this, a common thread in their reflection is no one ever had these conversations with me about what's my leadership style, who am I as a leader. I was just expected, I was just fumbling around in the dark. It's like driving a car without switching on the headlights. You could only, okay, maybe role model, you know, your look at what your manager does, you know, whether you like it or you don't like it. You kind of accidentally learn something, but it's never intentional. And I think that's really a great pity.
What does the role of culture play? Because let's take out, we were joking around at the commencement of the podcast that you're in Singapore, I'm in Australia. While we've been talking, it's like, so does what make a great leader here in Australia, would that translate to Singapore? So even though we're close geographically, so to speak, culturally, we have, you know, we're two different kinds of countries. And even, you know, we're very culturally aligned with, say, New Zealand, and yet there would still be cultural differences there between what makes a good leader and what a team's expectations would be.
For sure, for sure. You know, there's this phrase, culture is strategy for breakfast. So I think coming from culture, is it how do you define culture? It's the way you work, you interact, you interpret, you assume things, or you stereotype certain behavior. And definitely it plays a big part. What's acceptable in one context will not be acceptable in the other, right? Beyond nationality, right? Different cultures, different organizations have different cultures as well. So culture definitely play a big part. That's why what got you here can't get you there. It's very, very true. And that's where leaders need to put the focus in the right place, in the core. Who are they as individuals? They have to know, because it's like running a science experiment. If you have everything as variables, you don't have a control, how do you know what is working, what's not working? Of course, there are now currently coaches who coach around cultural sensitivity. I see it as just expanding their perspectives. There are many things that we don't know. Right? Like every time I engage, say, with my clients from India, my clients from China, my clients from Germany, or even clients from Lithuania, I will ask them, okay, what is acceptable in your culture? Okay, what's the culture like? Do people speak up, for example? You know, it's just one simple behavior of not speaking up. There's so many ways you can interpret it. And I think having that discernment to ask these right questions instead of stereotyping, assuming, having a genuine interest in getting to know people, finding the common ground, building a common space. I think these are all very important stuff. And so definitely culture. To understand the culture is not difficult, actually, I feel, if you go about it with the right lens.
What tips would you give leaders in transforming their leadership style?
Only one tip. I was reflecting on this morning, and I think only one tip, you know, only one tip: be a real good human being. I think you heard me say this before. We are human beings. We are not human doings, right? So generally, I will recommend focusing on the being, which means it's a value-centered, it's an inside-out approach. Only when we truly know ourselves as individuals, as human beings, then we will be able to transform ourselves, because we are deepening the presence, we are elevating the consciousness. In professional coaching, in my context, we are talking about transformational work and what then makes things transformation, what makes coaching transformational. We are working on things at a core. We are not making cosmetic changes. We are not trying to train somebody in the behavior. We are going deep into the consciousness beyond the surface. And it's actually not very hard. However, it requires a specific series of exploration. Have those courageous conversations about things that we have taken for granted. Like, for example, what is the influence of culture on leadership? Who am I as a leader? What does good leadership even mean to me? Many times, a lot of these things, we don't talk about them because we use a definition that was given to us. And that's where the culture comes in, right? It's shaped by society. It was imbued in us by upbringing, or through our education system, or through our experiences in life. But are those definitions truly what we believe in? You know, it's like, are you immersed in something, but you didn't make a conscious choice of what it actually means to you? So what would it be like if you could find your own voice about it and perhaps, for example, define good leadership in your words? So that part, I feel, is quite key. And that is the strategic difference in executive coaching. Because if you do it right, you will find that most of the clients, they are very high performing, right? Because they are knowledgeable, very skillful. And you give them this right kind of work, inner work, you know, that strengthens their core. They actually can really fly. Their being, their effectiveness, the impact will be so, so different. It's never about the IQ. It's not about the cognitive side. It is about the, you know, integration between heart and the mind. So right now, you know, even in my book, when I write the book and I created my coaching model, the Re4 coaching model, there are four steps there. The doing part actually comes right at the end, at the fourth step. You know, so why is the reason for that? Because exploring the being, exploring the reality, looking at what the biases, the assumptions, generalized rules that no longer work, and finding out what is that identity, what is the persona? If you can use a metaphor to represent yourself as a leader, what would it be? You see, all these things are the core work. Then let's talk about what are the capabilities I need to have. Is it storytelling? Is it public speaking? Is it resolving conflict? Some of the things can be practiced, but without the right groundwork, you actually can't get there. You will find that you will get stuck with very unexciting results. So one tip, work on the being. Live life, taste life, smell life fully.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you for that top tip. I really enjoyed talking with you today. And thank you very much for your time, Chen Chen.
Thank you, Elise.
That ends another podcast from Future Proof Your Career.